Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you again here on live streaming, and welcome to our service this morning. Welcome to an amazing community, a Jesus community that assembles at 5000 Branca Parkway in Irvine, California. And this is an amazing church that embraces this journey of trying to meet Jesus and know Jesus and to follow Jesus. And that's what we're doing, especially during these times. I know that all of you are hanging out in your homes. I'm going to ask wherever you are to please stand, because what we're going to do right now, and I like to do this beginning of every service, is to read God's Word. It says the Word of the Lord will endure forever. Long after you and I are gone, God's Word exists. We're reading ancient scripture that's thousands of years old. And to honor the Word of God, I'm going to ask you all to stand with me. And we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke. I want to read a section from 1 Peter and from Jesus' half-brother, James. But it says this in Luke 18, so take heart to this. It says, "And they were bringing even their babies to him so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began to rebuke them. But Jesus called for them, saying, 'Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter into it at all.'" Let that sink in. Peter says these words in his epistle: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And then James writes this: "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we gather as a Jesus community from our homes all over America, all over the world. We gather this morning, God, with purpose. We come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We come to learn as disciples from the one who made us. God, we come seeking comfort and understanding. God, we pray for the world. I pray for the nations like that little girl, that God, you would do a mighty work in people. God, may you do a mighty work in us this morning. We pray this for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen. And now you can go back and sit on your couch again. And welcome 7 weeks, 7 weeks. I cannot believe it. This is our 7th week that we've been meeting. We are living in unprecedented times, and I can't wait for the day when we can finally come together again. We are already talking about what will it look like here at Woodbridge Community Church the first Sunday that the doors will be open. And I'm sure you'll be greeted with a bulletin and probably a mask that you'll need to wear. We'll have hand purifiers outside and inside the sanctuary. We might even maybe have the testing, you know, as they're doing testing people on their foreheads for temperatures and so forth. The world's going to change. And probably when you come in, we're going to be having ushers seating people in social distancing of 6 feet, and families be together in 6 feet. We're trying to figure out how this is going to work. It's coming. Crazy times. But you know what? The Lord is doing amazing work. I'm sure you've seen this. God is doing amazing work in the hearts of people. It's almost like God is tilling the soil. You know, Jesus gave a great parable about the Word of God being like seed, and it would fall on hard ground. But if you till the soil and then you plant seed, has a better chance to grow. And truly God has been tilling the soil of the earth. And people are willing to listen more than ever to big discussions of God and the existence of God and the heart of God and reasons for God. This last week or a few weeks ago, Sin and I, we have a YouTube channel we love. It's Nate and Sutton. And I just want to encourage you guys, if you're on a YouTube, to check that out. They're a young Christian couple that really love the Lord. And they put out some great videos. And this little video that you saw today, I believe it's their niece. And as you watched that video, how did that make you feel? When this little girl just was speaking to you and I about trust, about faith, out of the mouth of babes, out of the mouth of babes. This morning, I wanted to teach and talk about having faith in God, trust in God. You know, for me, as I've been on my spiritual journey, coming from a person who at one point in my life totally didn't believe in God and journeyed to a place where now I completely follow this Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of questions people ask. And I remember asking questions on my spiritual journey once I realized that God was real. What does God want from me? And as you journey down that path of once you come to this place of going, He totally exists, God exists, what does this God want from me? And you know what the answer is? He wants you to love Him back. When you read the scriptures, you'll read that the number one commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. Jesus one time was asked this, and he said it's called the Shema, love God. It's the number one thing, to respond to God's love for you by loving Him back. Did you know that's what God wants from you more than anything else? What's the second thing God wants from you? I'm convinced what He wants from you is for you to trust Him, to have faith in Him. Peter, in his epistle, speaks of this faith that we have, and he compares it to gold. You know, when you and I on our wedding days, we give something of great value to the person. Do you remember your wedding day if you've been married? It's usually gold, because we hold gold in value. It's important. You know, God compares your faith, your trust in Him, to gold. In the economy of heaven, gold, your faith is like gold to God. For you to trust God, for you to believe in God and to hope in God, that is everything. And so if you want to take notes with me this morning, just to start off our day, I want you to take notes with me this morning. Very important. Number one, the number one thing God wants from you is love. If you're watching here today and maybe you're not a Christian and you're trying to go, I don't even know if I believe in God. Well, let me tell you, He totally exists. He's completely real. For God so loves the world, He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved you, He gave. Jesus came as love. God loves you, and what He wants you to do is figure out what that love is and to respond back. Love. The number one thing God wants from you is love. Write that down. And the second thing God wants from you is trust. To trust in God, to believe in God. And you know, there is a big difference between trust and believe. Now, let me say that again. There's a big difference between love and trusting and believing. There's a big difference. You know, for many of us, you know, how many of you would say you loved your mom and dad? If your mom and dad's still alive, do you love them? And if they've passed away, did you love them? For many people, they would say, oh, I totally love my mom and dad. But you know, if I was to ask, did you believe in them? Did you trust them? For me as a youth pastor, growing up as a youth pastor here at Woodbridge Community Church, if I was to ask that question in a youth group, I wouldn't get as many students raising their hands saying, yeah, I love my parents, do I trust my parents? There's a big difference. And every time I think of this, I'm reminded of this young man that came to our youth group. He was in the 10th grade. And this was a great young man, great kid. He came to our youth group, and after a while of his own spiritual journey, he met Jesus. He became a follower of Jesus, 10th grade. And as a pastor, we get to meet kids. And after a while, I began to meet this kid's family. His dad was a person that beat his mom. He had a drug issues, and he had left his mom. His parents are divorced. His mom was an alcoholic. This young man would come home, and his mom would be passed out on the couch. There was times when she threw up all over herself, and he would have to give his mom a bath before he put her to bed. He's in 10th grade. This young man loved his parents. If you were to ask him, did he trust his parents, the answer would be no. He didn't trust them. In many ways, he was the adult taking care of them. They were both wounded people. There's a big difference to love your parents and to trust your parents. There's a difference between loving God and trusting God. See, here's the deal. God's not messed up. God knows what he's doing. He's got his head on straight. And you can trust God. You can believe in God. And he calls you, trust me, and to believe in me. And to put both those together is powerful. To take love of God and trust in God and put it together, you're going to go places with him. Trust in God. And you know, sometimes you have to ask the question, why does God want us to trust him? Have you ever journeyed that? You know, okay, God, I get that you want me to trust you. Why? It's for your own protection. It's for your own protection. I've thought about this quite a bit, and if you've hung around Woodbridge Church, I always seem to tell this story. In our own journey, when our son Jordan was 6, he had a tumor behind his right eye. We had to take him to Children's Hospital, Los Angeles. I kind of thought my son was going to pass away. I was preparing that my son was going to die. And praise the Lord, they took the tumor out. It wasn't cancerous, and he's got a great scar on his head. Shortly after that experience, my youngest son, Jeremiah, he was riding his bike, and we lived on a busy street. And this car had turned the corner and was racing. You could hear it accelerating. And I'm watching. It was like both eyes. My son's riding his bike down our driveway and into the street. And our car, we have a van that's parked out front. And I screamed at my son Jeremiah, stop. And he hit the brakes. And if he hadn't have, I would have been back at Children's Hospital. Okay? And that traumatized me, that experience. I talk about it quite a bit. I'm so grateful that my little boy just didn't love me, but he trusted me enough to obey what I said without him understanding. I totally am convinced of this. Why God wants you and I to trust him, it's for our own protection. It's for our own good. I found this verse in Deuteronomy as I've been reading the Old Testament some, and I like this verse. God had Moses say this in Deuteronomy 32 as he's speaking to the people of Israel. It says, take to your heart all the words which I'm warning you today, God is speaking, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of the law. For it is not idle words for you. Indeed, it's your life. It's your life. And by this you will prolong your day. God, I'm just sitting there going, God, I get what you're trying to say. He's speaking through Moses to the people, and he says, you need to listen to what I'm telling you. These are not idle words. These words are very important. And these words I'm speaking to you is life. You know, God needs you, wants you to trust him because it protects you. It's important that you trust God. Think of all the things in your life by following Jesus he's protected you from. There's something for you to think about today. Think of all the things in this world that God has protected you from. You know, I remember when I was going to Biola, my professor, Dr. Mitchell, said that God's laws are not restrictive, they're protective. And I still remember him saying, you ever driven down a two-lane road and you see those double yellow lines? That means don't pass because you can't see. Those lines aren't there to make your life terrible. They're there to protect you. You know, when God puts up double yellow lines, he's there not being a killjoy. He's trying to protect you in life. God wants you to trust him because in doing so, it protects you. But you know what else? I'm convinced of this. God wants you to trust him because in trusting him, you'll be blessed. There's good things God has to show you and to teach you if you'll trust him. If you'll trust him. I don't know if you've had the opportunity. I've been looking at old pictures. You know what you got to do today? You've got some free time. I think you got a lot. Open up those old pictures and start looking through the journey of your life and remembering and taking just your thoughts back to the good times. And we've been doing that. And recently I was reminded of a time long ago when we went to Hawaii. Yeah, it was a great time with Cinda's dad, who's passed away, and we miss him big time. And Cinda's mom, and we're so grateful she's still here. We get to see her quite a bit. And we one time they took our family to Hawaii for that one trip that is the greatest trip you've ever been in. They took us to the Big Island. We stayed at Kona Village in Kona for like a week in these huts. It was absolutely beautiful. The kids were really small then. And then we went and stayed another week at this place called the Waikoloa. It's this like Disneyland resort in Maui, or on the Big Island of Hawaii. And Jonathan, our oldest, they had this water slide park-like thing. And Jonathan was old enough, and he was in these slides, and he's sliding down, and he would come splashing into the pool, and he was just laughing, and he'd go back up, and he'd do it again. And our son Jordan, who's 2 years younger, was watching his older brother. And he wanted to do it. And we'd take him up there, and he'd look at the water slide, and then he would be like, no, I don't want to do it. No, fine. Then we'd take him back down, and Jonathan splashed in the water and back up again and splash. And Jordan would be like, I want to go. We'd take him up to the top. He wouldn't go down, and, you know, and back and forth. And we're like, if you just go, Jordan, you're going to love it. Just go. No, I'm afraid. And it got so frustrating. I remember I was saying, I'll catch you, son. You know, I'll catch you. I'll be here waiting at the bottom for you. And finally, he went. Finally, he trusted his parents. He was afraid. I remember sitting at the bottom. And Jonathan went first and splashed, and he's all happy. And I'm waiting, and I could hear Jordan screaming, Daddy! And it's getting louder, Daddy! And all of a sudden, he's turning the corner. He's on his back. His legs are up in the air. His feet's up in the air. Head going straight down first. Splashes into the water. I grab him and pick him right up. And he's totally shaken and afraid. Oh, it's one of those moments as a father, man. And I said, dude, how you doing? You okay? And he looks at me and he says, that was awesome. And the rest of the day, we couldn't get him off the slide. Back and forth, him and then Jeremiah was too small, he couldn't do it. You know, I'm convinced, how many times does Jesus want to say, trust me, follow me, believe in me, I have something great to show you. And we're afraid. We're afraid. Take notes of me this morning. Learning to trust God blesses us. It's important to do. Learning to trust God protects us. These are the notes of today. Learning to trust God protects us. Learning to trust God blesses us. I like that Proverbs verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? And lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. And I love that. He'll make your path straight. He'll make your path straight. Hebrews says this. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of those who seek Him. You know, God rewards us for seeking Him. When we're trusting God, we get rewarded. When we'll get to go down those slides and go, that was cool. That was fun. Trusting God protects us. Trusting God blesses us. But here's the rubber in the road, and all of you know this. Having faith in God is at times more difficult than at other times. You know this, and so do I. And by the way, so does Abraham, and so does Moses, so does Gideon, so does Peter. Trusting the Lord with all our heart is easy when we're sitting on a beach in Waikiki. Here's a great picture. Drinking a non-alcoholic Mai Tai, hey, right? And you know, it's easy to trust God when that's in our lives, right? That's easy. It's easy to trust in the Lord when there's green pastures and still waters Yeah, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. But what happens when the storms of life come? What happens when your life looks like that? Is it easy to trust God in that? How about now? Do we trust God then? See, that video is really cute of that little girl. I want to be honest with you, but the cynical side of me, when I watched that second or third time, I said, that little girl just hasn't lived life yet. Wait till that girl lives life a little bit longer. I wonder if she'll still be saying that. Isn't that terrible? Pastor Frank thought that? Just being honest. See, life can be hard. You know that, and so do I. Life can be hard, because life is hard. We live in a broken, fallen world. Jesus said, in this world, we will experience trials and tribulations. There's a promise we can claim. That's true, right? So life can be hard. Trusting God in hard times? See, how about when God gives us tests? Did you know that God gives us tests in our life? Do you know that the Scripture says that God tests our faith? There are times when God purposely tests our faith. Do you like tests? Usually tests happen not in the beach, but in the storms. That's when our faith is tested. See, Jesus is a rabbi. Jesus is a teacher. And the Bible says that we're disciples. That means we're learners or we're students. And behold the classroom of life. And we're living life right now. And the teacher is speaking and teaching into our lives. And every now and then, teachers tell students to put away their books and get out a pencil and paper. It's test time. During this pandemic, I've been thinking of two scriptures over and over again, two chapters in the Bible. One is Isaiah 40 that I gave last week on the sovereignty of God, realizing how big God is. The second part that I've been thinking about over and over again is a moment in the life and the ministry of Jesus when he had his ministry in the Sea of Galilee. I think about John chapter 6 and link it with Matthew chapter 14. In John chapter 6, it's early in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus feeds, he's teaching, okay? And there's like 5,000 people there. And it's late in the day, it says in the Scriptures. And it says, Jesus testing Philip, asked him, how shall we feed all these people? It's interesting how Jesus says it's a test. When you read in John, it says Jesus tests him for he knew what he was going to do. Okay? And Philip looks around and goes, man, I'll take half a year's wages to feed all these people. Jesus says, have them sit down. What do you got? Fish and loaves. He blesses the fish and the loaves, and he feeds 5,000 people with fish and loaves. Interesting. When you read that, Jesus was testing him. You know what? And we talked about this during our Easter service. When the people saw Jesus do a miracle, they wanted to make him king by force. King by force. The Messiah is to be a political ruler. He's going to conquer Rome. He's going to rule the world. And they were singing, King Jesus is all my all in all. And I promise you this, all the disciples that were there that day, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Matthew, Judas especially, all expected Jesus to be the political Messiah. And they were singing with the crowds, let's do this. As Jesus sends them away, he sends the crowds away, and he tells the disciples, go get in a boat and go the other side. Can you imagine? I've thought many times what it must have been like for Peter. You want me to what? Get in the boat. What? What? This is the moment. Get in the boat. All of you, get in the boat. They get in the boat. They follow him. And they row away. And as they row away from the shore, he sends away an army. And with that, he sends away all their expectations of who God is. And as they row away, the wind starts to kick. And since it's late in the day, when you read Matthew's account, it says, after Jesus sent them away, he went up on the mountain and he prayed. And I'll never forget this. The first time I went to Israel, I sat up on that mountain. And it was a great time just being, just sitting there, was thinking of this. We had visited the beach, we had visited this place and this. And you can look out onto the Sea of Galilee, this beautiful body of water that's 14 miles long and 8 miles wide. And there was like boats out on the water. And I could picture Jesus as the sun's setting and the wind's blowing. He sees them. And when you read, it says, when Jesus went up on the mountaintop to pray, who do you think Jesus was praying for? What do you think Jesus was praying for? As he watched his disciples sail away and get caught in a storm. In a storm. It says he's testing their faith. He was testing them. And there they are in their boat rowing. Probably looking at each other, what just happened? Why did he send away everything we expected? And then the storm comes and they couldn't even make it to the other side. The wind's blowing them this way. And it says all night long, they were straining against the wind and the storms, buffeted by the waves of the sea, rowing, confused. At one moment, life is just beautiful, right? And at one moment, there's storms and it happens so quick. And you're going, why? And all the time, where's God? Have you ever been tested? Has God ever tested your faith? He has. He's tested yours and he's tested mine. And not only has he will. You see, your faith, your belief, your trust in him is gold in the economy of heaven. What God, you can't take your career to heaven. You're taking your character. Who are you? I remember when Sin and I were newlywed, and as we were just young kids married, and Sin got a job. She was teaching at Maranatha Christian Academy. It's Calvary Chapel's elementary school. She's a great kindergarten teacher. Amazing lady. She's really awesome. And I remember as we got married, some radical things happened in that 6 months after we got married. I went from wanting to join the Coast Guard and be in the Coast Guard Academy to becoming a pastor. And Cinda felt the Lord was telling her, Cinda, I want you to work in the public school system. You could reach more people in the public school system. And so I remember like it was like May of that year, heading into June. And I'm like, babe, if God's calling you, let's do it. So she quits her job without having a new job. She applies in the public school system. And I start seminary that summer. Okay? And I remember it was June. Everything's fine. We're going to trust in the Lord. I'm working like valet parking. I'm working part-time at a church as her college director. And we've got some savings. And it's going to be okay because she's going to get a job, right? July comes. She's interviewing. I'm in school. I'm in seminary. I'm taking this class and taking that class. Everything's cool. August, that's when you hire teachers. Guess who doesn't get hired? Cinda, my wife. And I'll never forget because we were cruising into September. And I remember I was sitting in class. I was taking a class at Biola at Talbot Seminary. It was late. And I got up and walked out of the class because I was so angry at God. I remember walking out into this grassy field. I said, God, this stinks. I'm going to have to quit seminary to go get a job because my job is to provide for my family. I cannot believe that you're not doing this, Lord. I can't believe that you're not giving us this job. I was angry. See, sometimes I believe God tests us, that we're like a rubber band. And God's just seeing, how far can he stretch you? How far can he stretch us? And I remember driving home that night. And when I got to our apartment in Dealfield Apartments, my beautiful bride had put on the door of our apartment, the darkness had been pierced. I walked in the door and she's like, I got a job. It's at Capistrano Valley School District. It's a perfect job. I'm like, if I just could have waited one more day. She's been stretching my faith. If I just couldn't have made it one more day. Sin is faith. I married up, by the way. I don't know if you've... Man, it's great to be a part of the Married Up Club. My lady is just amazing. God was testing my faith, and He still is. He tests us to see what we're made of. See, another one for you this morning. You have no idea what a tea bag is like until you stick it in hot water. Then you find out what it's made of. What are you made of? What's your faith made of? I want to tell you something. Life is hard. Trusting God, yeah, when it's easy, yes. Trusting God in the hard times, that's one thing. How about trusting God when He tells you to take a test? Hey, Abraham, go up on a mountain. Take Isaac with you. That's a test. You trust God now? See, when I watched that video, I was thinking, that little girl, I wonder if she'll still say that after a while. Isn't that sad that I would say that? But I've lived life a bit more. See the gray? See, God tests us. Take notes this morning. Trusting God can be hard at times. Do you have any problem writing that down? Trusting God can be hard at times. Hey, Philip, where are we going to buy bread that so many of these can eat? He's testing them. Hey, go get in the boat. Sail the other side. And he's up there praying for them. You know he's praying for? He's praying for them. God, I pray for Peter. I pray, God, that he would trust me right now. God, I'm praying for John. They would trust me right now. James 1 says this, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. How many students say yay when a teacher says it's time to take a test? Not very many. But James says, consider it joy when, if God's going to test you, there's a purpose to the testing. There's a purpose to it. Peter says that the proof of your faith, more precious than gold in the economy of heaven, God's testing you. It's what God wants you to trust Him. Take notes with me. God gives us tests to purify us, to purify our faith. And unfortunately, that can only be done in the fire, in the storms, to strengthen our faith. God sometimes tests us to see what we're made of. Has God been testing you lately? Let's face it, you and I, we're all in the storms, aren't we? We're in the storms right now. We're in hot water. Foundations of life is being shaken. Crazy times. The lights have gone out. See, I keep thinking about this through this pandemic. There's a place in the Sea of Galilee that my mind keeps going back to. Recorded in John chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 14, you put them together, you'll get a clean picture of what happened that night. Listen to this. Matthew 14. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent away the crowd. That was confusion for Peter, James, and John. And after he had sent the crowd away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Well, who was he there with before? I like that, by the way. God the Father. He was inter-Trinitarian communication. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the... That's just before dawn. He comes to them... walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. Can you just imagine that scene? But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage. Take courage. It is I. Don't fear. Boy, if the Lord could speak to you this morning, to me, take courage. It is I. Don't fear. Peter said to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat. God bless Peter. We're going to be studying Peter next week. And he walks on the water and he came toward Jesus. But then he took his eyes off the Lord. He saw the wind and the waves. He became frightened, began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why do you doubt? People, sometimes it's hard not to doubt. Tell me I'm wrong. See, life is hard. Tests can be hard. Ask Abraham, Moses, Gideon, ask Peter. That little girl in the video is right. She's right. And may she always learn that she's right. When she's 40 and watches that, I pray that she looks back and she says, I was right. The faith of a little child. She said, you grown-ups need to go take a time out. And she's going to set the clock for 5 minutes. Watch that. She says, you need to go into your rooms and tell God that you trust Him, that God is good, and that you love Him. Even in the dark storms. Even when the wind and the waves come. See, she hasn't been in that many wind and waves yet, has she? She will. Out of the mouth of babes. My encouragement to you, if you're in a storm and Jesus has you in that storm, trust Him. Just keep on rowing. Just keep on rowing. You can ask questions, you can doubt, you can look at each other and say, did we miss something? Why did Jesus not do what we expected Him to do? What is He doing? Listen to the sermon of last week. God's smarter than you. He knows what He's doing. He's got a bigger perspective than you do. He wants you to trust Him. Are you? How's your faith muscles? How's your perseverance with the Lord? How far can God stretch you before you become like me and you start yelling at Him? What are you made of? Right now you're in the hot water. What do you see in you? What does God see in you? And what does God want to see in you? Today, may we all take a time out. And may we all go into our prayer closets. And may we all tell God that we trust Him. That He's a good God. And we love Him. Because that's what He wants from you most. To love Him and to trust Him. And people, He'll come walking on the water soon enough. And when He does, you and I will never be quite the same. In the end of the Gospel of Matthew, it says this, when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, certainly you're the Son of God. See, 100 years from now, looking back on all this, we're all just going to say God knew what He was doing. I love that. I love this. They see Him do a miracle. They think He's going to do exactly. Then He totally does something that they don't expect Him to do. He sends away an army. He puts them into a storm. It's all night long. They're buffeted, confused. Do we miss something? What's going on? And pretty soon He comes walking on the water. And he gets in the boat, and they go, "You're the Son of God." And you know what they did by the time they came back to shore? They said, "We don't totally know what you're doing, but we trust you, and you're awesome." Can you say that? God, I don't know what you're doing in this pandemic, but we trust you, and you're awesome. And we're just going to look back on all this. I'm going to put my head down and be who you need me to be, trust you, and you just keep rowing. Just keep going. I praise your name in the storm. I'll bless you in the storm. See, God loves you. God wants you to love him back. God wants you to trust him. Hey, parents, what do you want most from your kids? Don't you want them to love you? Don't you want them to trust you? It's the same with God. God wants you to love him back. He wants you to trust him. If you trust him, he'll protect you in life. If you trust him, he'll bless you in life. Trust and obey, right? If you follow Jesus, it's going to be hard because life's confusing. And just life is tough. Trust him anyway. And if he tells you to take out a pencil and paper, he's gunning for something. The professor wants to see what you're learning. Embrace the test. Embrace the test. A verse for you today. Pastor Frank loves Psalm 25. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in thy truth, for you are the God of my salvation. What a good heart. For a student to say, hey, teacher, teach me. What do you want me to learn? To be in that boat going, Lord, what do you want me to learn? In this pandemic, God, what do you want to teach me in this pandemic? What do you want to teach me about you, about me, about life, about the life is fragile. Foundations we think are solid are not. The only thing that can't be taken away from you is God. I mean, what is God trying to teach you in this storm? What is God trying to teach me? Why don't you ask him? What do you want me to learn? Help me to grow. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in thy truth, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I wait all day long. King David was learning to trust God. I want to end this service with the song Oceans. Oceans is a really cool song that came out of Australia. And it's a song about Peter walking on the water. It's a song about Peter being in that boat. So I want you to listen to this song and listen to the words of this song, and maybe you could sing along with this song. And are you trusting God? Are you trusting God? Lord, we pray for this day. God, we pray for this season that we're living in. We ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes and help us to learn in the midst of all this. As your children, we trust you. Even when we're afraid, we trust you, God, even when we think our lives are in danger, financial lives, physical lives, emotional lives. We trust you. God, we ask that you would do a work in us. We pray, Lord God, that our faith muscles would grow during this time. Lord, you realize that it's difficult. That's why you pray for us. That's why you stayed up on that mountain. You knew what they were going through wasn't easy. You prayed. God, would you pray for us today? Jesus, would you pray for our faith today? Would you help us, God, not to be afraid and trust you in the storms? Jesus, pray for us. As you prayed for the disciples so long ago. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray.